to a papi. You ready, my man?
Con Big Papi.
Este
Big
Papi. ¿Es en español ya? Bienvenido.
Sí.
You've been doing your homework, man?
I have been.
Yeah,
Duolingo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, really? Before the episode? Well, I'm glad you have, because it's going to be fully in Spanish, my friend.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I look forward
to
it.
No, but seriously, bro, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be.
I like the fact that you wore your blazer for the occasion.
I did. I'm always blending into this couch as well.
Yeah, for real, bro. It's really like hard to see you.
I was like a talking head now.
Like a bobblehead talking.
Can people see you there? Let's maybe move this out of the way so they can appreciate a little bit of
Jared. We're here. Me and the chili oil.
That's it. Bro, we don't do any intros in this podcast because we believe in people, our guests, introducing themselves. Mm-hmm. We usually start with the hardest question, which is, who are you and what do you do for a living?
How long have we got?
Yeah.
Name's Jared, spelt very, very differently though, as you both would know.
Yeah.
It's actually spelled Jarahad. I still to this day don't know why that is the case. I've asked my parents a few times.
Yeah? What is
no
it?
Answer.
Really?
Yeah, there's no answer.
Are they drunk or something?
That's what I've got a feeling that might have been the case.
They misspelled the name.
Yeah, and just misspelled it, threw an extra H, an extra A, and then that's it.
It's cool. It gives you something to talk about, I guess. I did remember when I first saw your name and the way it was written versus, you know, the way it said. I was like, oh, strange.
What's going on here?
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's me, Jared. I currently am launching a business called Welly. Which focuses on increasing vegetable consumption for kids and adults whilst reducing food waste. And that's me in an absolute nutshell. Unfortunately, nice. I don't do too much
else. That's a great pitch. I told my wife you were coming as a backup.
Yeah.
So just so everybody knows.
Get it out of the way.
We had a last minute cancellation, which is completely understandable. Things happen. And then I just called Ali. I was like, okay, we have these options. We cancel the whole thing. You know, just pull the plug. We do a podcast, just you and I, which is going to be not as interesting as it would be with somebody.
Don't cut yourself short.
Or we just call somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Meaning friends. So you were the first on the list.
Yeah. Right.
I'll give you that. You were the first
Perfect.
On the list.
Yeah.
And you were our guinea pigs before.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's a key.
And then Ali's like, yeah, let's do it. So I call you. So thanks so much for coming, man.
You're very welcome, guys.
That's a key for you to come here.
I lost track of my point I was about to make.
No, I was going to say that what you said there is the key to why we were like, man, Jared is a perfect candidate because, bro, like we've known you for a while now. Mm. And it's like you are the definition of hustle. And everyone who's been in this podcast with us, they're doing their thing. They're hustling. They're really passionate about what they do. And I think that describes you very well, man. Like ever since we've known you, you know, you're always onto something, looking
not
for
working,
the next thing.
But always onto something, you know.
Hey, I'm not a designer.
Oh yeah, that's right. So Welly, man, you've been launching this company for how long now? I think it's an interesting journey.
Yeah, it's been a long journey. It's been probably close to 18 months now since sort of that initial conception and ideation and thought of starting something new. The launch, well, it's been a long launch that still hasn't launched.
But we're getting closer, right?
But we're getting very close.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's just been multiple different supply chain issues, which a lot of people are experiencing.
It happens.
It does. And you know what? It's out of our control, so we can't dwell on it. We just keep working towards making the launch better, and that's all we're focusing on. But yeah, it's been 18 months since initial idea.
When did the idea come from?
It's a good question. There's a few different things that have come to sort of be, to sort of bring it together. First one was, I was at a crossroads with another business of mine and sort of realized that I wasn't overly passionate about the business anymore and where it was going. And I'm a big person on reflection. So at the start of, I think it was not this year, last year, did a big reflection piece and it was sort of really understanding who was it that I want to have a positive impact on? Mm-hmm. And how did I want to impact them? And where did my skill set, my experience, my knowledge provide me with the ability to actually have an impact on that group? And that was sort of the first point. The second point was I kept waking up to an idea that I had 3-4 years ago that I'd wrote a one page business plan for that stemmed from that business, which was in the reusable water bottle space, and basically combine those two together, and that's sort of where it came to be.
It's funny, just because Welly, I'm very aware of your business at the moment, because we've been sitting next to each other for a little while now and doing pro bono work for you as well.
We'll see. I'm waiting for the invoice.
Stock options. But what's interesting is that you are focusing in kits, you know, like obviously you've evolved now, that now, but you started with kits.
Yep.
And I mean, as far as I know, you don't have any kids. No. As far as you know, you don't have any kids.
I was going to say touch wood, but that's not wood.
Where I was going with this is that I don't see myself working in somewhere with people that I don't have any connection with, you know, so I wouldn't go out and then work with, you know, I don't know, I just can't think of anything because I have kids, but how come you went for that?
It's a good question. Coming back to that reflection piece is, I had to ask that question, like, who did I feel needed to have an impact made on them? And I do a lot of research into various categories, various industries, various products, and it just kept speaking true to me that it was kids. And we started, the inception of the idea started focusing on primary school age children, because in my mind there was this forgotten age group, especially in the product category that we're entering. And I've got nieces. I've want to have kids in the future as well. And then I've got a lot of friends as well that have children. And although I don't right now, it's like, how can I best set up for them? And it might sound naive, but how do I best set up or provide opportunity for them as well? So it's just sort of thinking about the future. And who did I believe was just someone that really did need someone to sort of go out of their way to start actually focusing on them. And it really interestingly, like, I had some, as the concept built, and I had some interesting like conversations with people in the industry who has worked in FMCG for years and years at a very, very high level with very, very big brands. And every single one of them was like, firstly, food is really fucking hard. Secondly, kids are the hardest.
Oh, and really? Why is that?
Because so difficult as a market.
Oh, right.
And again, might be naive, but I was like, well,
I mean, try to get a toddler to do anything.
Well, it's true. That's very, try again to eat a big try.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, and this consistent sort of, like this consistency of these high level individuals that have had so much experience saying that it's very, very difficult was almost like fuel to the fire. Why am I qualified to do it? I'm not. But I think my naivety actually allows me to explore it in a different way.
You're completely, you're not biased.
Absolutely not.
You're a blank canvas.
I'm not an expert. And so I think a lot of the time, like, people that aren't experts in certain fields have the ability to come up with better, or not necessarily better, but different ideas or alternatives that do have success.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so that was just fuel to the fire. It was like, cool, these people are saying no, so clearly other people aren't really focusing on it. So it's just more room for me to focus on.
I like that. And we've talked about this before, like, you're always seeing opportunities in different markets. Like, how many ideas do you normally get, like, for a business? And which one, like, when do you go, actually, this is worth pursuing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'll be honest, since Welly, it's been far more limited. Like, I used to have a practice. Every single day, I would come up with a new idea, whether it was the most ludicrous idea. And it was part of my daily
routine. Like a business idea?
Yeah. So basically what I did, and this, I did this for over a year, as part of my morning routine was, I have to come up with one idea, no matter how ludicrous it is, just an idea.
And what was that for?
Just for my, I think that your brain's a muscle.
Okay.
Right? It's training. It's an exercise. Yeah. It's just an exercise to continue to come up with these ideas, because then when you need to come up with something, you're more conditioned to do so, and the ideas you come up with are better.
Right.
And so I did this on a daily basis, and then anything that sort of stuck longer than that next day, I would review, and if it stuck longer than that, then I'd do a one-page business plan.
Is that where you came from?
So Welly came from that exercise.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow, nice.
And so you've done, like 50, 100 ideas, and then Welly came up?
Yeah, so plenty, like heaps. And like, and then separate to that sort of practice, I think one of my skills is just identifying opportunity. And not necessarily that is like, coming up with a solution to.
Yeah.
And it's all it is just being curious. That's literally all it is. I think like my biggest thing is curiosity is the key to unlocking the world.
Yeah.
And I think if you remain curious to anything and everything and you question.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Opportunities are all around.
They're everywhere. They're in everything. Yeah. It's just we need to question and ask the right questions to determine, okay, can something be done better? Does it need solving, first and foremost?
Yeah.
Can it be done better and how? Mm. And I think it's just being curious and asking.
Do you think you can announce the launch of Welly right now?
I'm not.
I keep telling my kid,
it's this coming month.
It really is.
Every time I walk through that door at home, he's like, is it ready? So I just look at him, he's like, it's not ready, sorry. I don't know why, for a second I believe that.
I'm getting a bad rap at your house, aren't I?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
I told my wife you were coming in, and she's like,
not that coffee cup guy.
The coffee cup guy. Oh, is that how people know it? Coffee cup, it's just for context. That was one of your previous businesses.
Yeah, I mean, that will still go to market, but that's a side project.
Let's talk about
Welly. Just for fun.
Yeah.
That's very serious for the side project. This is a side project, and I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Yours is tangible. Like, this is just us.
Look, honestly.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, so we were doing some user testing with you recently.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you both for that.
Oh man, no, it was a pleasure.
Taste buds.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. No, it was a pleasure.
Reciprical, right?
I actually, 100%. You know, we help each other grow up. And bro, I really like that, I guess, because I appreciate the art of research and understanding, you know, what people like and what people dislike and whatnot. And, you know, I thought that was really fun. Also, I saw how you struggle with the schedules, and I was like, I know that pain. People don't show up on time. And then and then like last minute something changes, something you didn't expect happens.
I mean, that was my fault doing 5 minute intervals. I mean,
people like to chat, that's the thing.
They do.
And so you
and especially give opinions.
Yes. 100%. You think people are not gonna have the time to like, you know, give me their feedback, and then you realize 5 minutes it's
a very short window. People thoroughly enjoy it. So no, thank you very much.
No, man, it was a pleasure.
Keep going.
No, tell us a little bit about that. And I've got some questions about that.
So I guess background is definitely in marketing and brand. I make a lot of decisions, not that are research led. They don't necessarily be absolutely and utterly driven, but they're led by some level of research, because I think you need data. As soon as we're part of a business, we sort of lose the ability to view it from a consumer's perspective, and I think that's really important. So conducting some feedback on our adult range, so that's one thing we didn't discuss, is that we have diversified. We're launching Welly and Welly Kids. So Welly is the adult range, and there's reasons that we have two interconnected sub brands for that, but adults are interesting. Like, it's we had made some assumptions around sort of taste preferences and profiles that we thought adults would like. And what we set out to attain was, do people want complex flavors or do they want simple flavors? And then from that, based on our product, because it's quite unique in terms of the concept, there are some sensory profiles and criteria that I wanted to test and get it and had assumptions on, one being texture. And it was basically, the research was to prove that as well.
Because you gave us like three samples per flavor.
Yep.
And then there were about three or four flavors.
Yeah, that's it. So, and basically there was simple, complex, and in the middle was sort of like somewhere.
Because I remember the coffee one. I loved that one. Yeah. And then Ali, he wasn't too keen on the coffee one. I think it was something like that. You were more on the chocolate side.
I think I like, do you have one with passion fruit?
There's a
very fruity one. I was really stuck with that one. Maybe it wasn't passion fruit or was it something?
You would have had the pineapple and passion fruit.
And the first one had beetroot in it, didn't it?
Yeah, beetroot, berries.
Yeah, that's when I was like, sorry, I'm out.
Yeah.
He's your
Welly Kids. I didn't do well enough to hide the beetroot then, did I?
It's funny, because you're talking about like kids as a difficult market, and I'm like, mate, what are you talking about? Like, adults as difficult to please, I'm sure.
This is taste, and like, man, I didn't realize how freaking hard food would be.
Yeah, so of course.
Food's fucking hard. It's that simple. When it comes to food and beverage, when you've got... Every single individual is so different in their taste preferences.
Yeah.
And it's not just taste, it's texture, it's aroma, everything.
Texture,
else.
Hey. Yeah.
We're talking,
I was oblivious to it.
We're talking to Sandra from Picolina, the founder, and she just goes on about quality ingredients and how they source everything. And if she could, she would harvest everything.
Amazing.
And I was making a joke about their staff just peeling pistachios one by one, and she's like, "Don't even joke about it." She didn't say yes, but I think they do, right?
Because they probably have more levers.
They want to use a paste, like a pre-made paste. Yeah, and she's like, if you can prove me that that's better than what we already do, we'll go for the pre-made stuff. But then they couldn't, and in my head, they're still peeling as we speak. You know,
which makes for me days,
enjoy,
they're like,
makes you enjoy it a little bit more. You know?
It absolutely does. But now that you know the story, you're gonna love their pistachio ice cream.
You source your ingredients from like weird places, that food bank in Iceland, weird places, the underground.
Well, you know, that's pretty good.
They all keep seeds from around the world. You know that one?
we're not that sophisticated just yet. One of the things that we do want to do though is upcycle vegetables. So fruit and veg, 31% doesn't reach the commercial shelf because it's ugly, like a blemish, color, whatever it may be.
31%.
So it's a huge amount. Like,
it is a big number.
Like millions of tons. Like it's ludicrous money. And it's not only does it have like a really bad effect on the financial situation and our economy, but from a emission standpoint, it's like 21 times more potent than like as a greenhouse emission than CO2. Like it's proper bad. And so we try to source or use product that would otherwise be discarded. That's a huge supply chain operation.
What happens, like it goes to the chains, let's say
it's a big supermarket. So basically, but
it gets not 30% gets knocked back.
30% doesn't even it doesn't.
And that's
get
when
to
you
pay.
Catch it.
So essentially,
like,
exactly.
We'll take that strawberry.
Yeah. And so that's our aim, is to just use completely. We're probably at around 10-15% of upcycled produce at the moment.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with it, right? It's just
It's just nutritionally perfect.
It's just not pretty.
It's just not pretty.
Pretty
it's
for a shelf.
All it is. That's all it is. And because
still
got,
blows
like,
my mind.
As consumer,
say,
like consumer standards, like we eat with our eyes first, and unfortunately, if it's got a little bit of mark on
Netflix
it,
Netflix documentary about 100%.
Yeah, the rest of it definitely will be. And if not, we can grow one.
We're talking about this is a documentary.
Yeah. So that's something that we do. So but the quality is still really fun. Yeah. So like again, we're not fully there yet in terms of that operation, but the intention is to be either like sort of high 90% just upcycled goods.
Yeah.
But I need a lot more staff and a lot more money.
Is that one of the biggest challenges you have? Like to source the produce
And like we go through so many different processes for our produce to create the final product.
Yeah.
So it's like frankly it's just a big process. That's all it is. And when you've got such small resources, being such an early stage startup, it's really, really difficult. But I think you need to have the ambition to achieve or attain something and sort of work back from that.
Yeah.
Which is what we're doing.
Actually, it's funny. We've been talking about Welly for so long now, and like someone's listening to this or watching it, like, what is it? Like what is it? What is the product?
That's a really good question.
It's just like pulling
They're like Welly. They're like talking about
veg. Some of that you've sold it to
someone's figuring it out by now, but you know, because it is not the typical product like you find on the shelf when it comes to drinking vegetables.
So I'm gonna start a little bit before what it is. So our biggest thing is there's extrinsic and intrinsic factors that minimize our want as kids, as adults, to eat or consume vegetables and fruit. And so basically that forms our product strategy and all of our current and future products. But what my biggest thing is there's four key components. There's sustainability, there's increasing vegetable intake, there is convenience, and there is interactivity.
Yeah.
And those four is what we sort of build the product based around.
Yep.
And so what we're looking to do is how can we recreate products that are currently unhealthy for people, but exist and are used because they're convenient, and how can we recreate them using vegetables as a foundation? So that's sort of like that longer term goal, right?
Right.
But our first product, which comes back off of all those motivations and criteria, is what we're terming an instant smoothie. And basically it's a combination of freeze-dried fruit and vegetable powders that come in a single serve sachet that you add to a reusable water bottle, milk, water, shake it, you've got a smoothie. So from a convenience...
Shake it?
Shake it. Hey, like a maraca. And so the whole idea is you don't need blender, you don't need additional Whole Foods.
It's just like click on the go.
You can click on the go. Yeah. You can take a sachet wherever you are. Everyone's got a reusable water bottle. Everyone's got access to water. You can always access milk if you really want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's your smoothie. And so the whole idea with kids is like, one of the things that we don't really know is, what we forget is eating vegetables is a learned behavior. Mm. And so if we can create positive interactions with children as they become adults, they're going to have better associations with veggies. And so that's sort of one of the big things. But so that's the first product. That sort of sits in the snack. But where we are already looking is cereals, other products.
I remember a little bit of this.
That's interesting.
That is cool. Yeah.
So that's sort of next sort of where stage. It's headed. But let's just get this range to market first. Yeah. ISO.
Let's get this far
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. The other thing that, remember we talked about this after we did that user testing. One of the things you were asking about was the packaging.
Yeah.
And
you did. You like take a photo of that, Ollie. I took a photo and like, I'm still waiting. I was like taking space in my phone. Like, what do I do with it?
It was interesting.
You gave feedback, right?
Yeah, I did give feedback on the packaging. Yeah. And it was interesting. I went on this, I don't know, trip in my mind where I'm like, man, this is an interesting challenge because this guy is trying to solve a big problem. He's also trying to come up with the right flavor. And on top of that, you are creating a product that is unusual. Mm. Like, you know, it's got to be easy to open.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be on the shelf. Yeah, like we were joking about it. Yeah. Like if the packaging is bad, then imagine tearing it apart and there's just dust everywhere.
It's like trust me. In our testing,
I'm sure you know this.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then the way that you show the ingredients on the packaging, like the way that you display it on the shelf, like there's so many things to consider.
There is.
Like,
and it comes down to the consumer. If you can understand what the consumer needs to attain from your packaging, from your product, from everything, that makes it a lot easier. And that's why we do this research, essentially for those reasons. And that's why we seek advice from people like yourselves and we speak to people.
Did you ever think about like tablets?
Effervescence.
Yes.
Yeah. So we did.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, it just doesn't work with our product because our product, we have fiber. Like, so we actually, basically our product is just fruit and vegetables without water. Right. Yeah. So essentially that's our process. Like you basically just take the water out of whatever it is and then we ground it. Yeah. Essentially, it's very similar to dehydration.
Yeah. Right.
But freeze drying is just a better product. just put that there. Freeze drying is better. So we did look at that, but it just does not work. And we've got to add so many different fortified things and artificial ingredients in order to attain what we would need to get it. And we're very, very big on nothing artificial.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
It defeats the purpose. Yeah. It's like it just did not work for this product range. Doesn't say that it wouldn't for something else.
Yeah.
But we probably won't enter
the beverage performance again. Line.
You know, yeah, yeah, exactly.
By Jared.
Not well.
Not well. Yeah, that's good. No, that's good, man. And there was, we talked about, I'm going to step away from Welly just for a minute, because you had a really good story when it came to the water bottles.
Not excited about that story.
No, because I love the story how you missed out on a big opportunity. But then, what I love about it is that you just like left that in the past, and now you're like onto Welly. And do you want me to give you a hint?
Yeah, fire. Yeah, I'm gonna need something. I'm gonna pull on the string.
Yeah, the Prada thing, luxury market.
Yeah,
remember?
Yep, I do indeed.
Yeah, so you told me a story like you were thinking about doing something, and then it didn't happen, and then you missed out on that.
Yeah.
What did you learn from? Well, give us context and then what did you learn from that?
Yeah, context. So the first business that I launched was in the reusable water bottle space. And it was when we launched, we thought market fit was around the supplement shakers.
Mm.
And the whole idea was focusing on a product that was easy to clean, reduce bacteria, provide a healthier hydration experience, and looked good. And this is back in 2015, so a little while now. And what we came out was with my business partner has a very, very good eye for design and is an exceptional engineer. And he created a very good looking product. And we ended up positioned at quite a high price point in that specific market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and we went well for some time, and we decided that we had established like this unique positioning in this like up market for water bottles, I guess it was personal accessories, and we had like this whole streetwear was really starting to sort of get a lot of wind. And so we did a big trip to New York and to Europe, and basically decided that's where we were going to go, and that we had started, we actually had already been in sort of the process for the last 9 to 12 months in developing a whole new range of glass water bottles and stainless steel water bottles that were, in my opinion, bloody like they were beautiful, like they were really good bottles. And we had some unreal feedback from fashion houses and whatever else, and then we got to Europe, and it was sort of like the cherry on top was like proving that this was the right way to go. We got to the UK, and Selfridges were just doing this big activation for Prada, and Prada had this $2.50 stainless steel Alibaba water bottle Prada, €60. Wow. I'm like,
what a slap on the face.
But like, it was like, that's perfect, because if we can be that, if we can be the bottle that actually differentiates them from the fucking Alibaba water bottle, that's all we need. Right? And so that was like,
was cool. It literally just the logo on it?
It was literally just an etched logo on a stainless steel. I could order the bottle right now.
And you knew it was an Alibaba bottle because your research. Yeah, you knew that it's you could buy it wholesale for $2.
Yeah. And then like that whole trip, like I saw like a few other brands that I follow in that space, that had also just like started releasing these water bottles.
Yeah, right.
And it's also like momentum shift for like single use plastics and everything else. And that's something that's also encouraged it too. Anyway, and so like, this is perfect. Like, this is definitely the space that we need to go.
Yeah.
But we, unfortunately, we, from a manufacturing standpoint, just couldn't make it happen. Couldn't make pricing work. Couldn't, we had basically the product 95% done. And unfortunately,
It just didn't make sense.
And it was out of our, it wasn't out of our hands, but we didn't have the, I guess, the capabilities to continue with it. And we didn't have the resources that it needed. And unfortunately, sometimes you just need to cut your losses. And like, we spent a lot of money and we spent a lot of time designing, developing that product range and changing positioning and everything else, and unfortunately it sort of just parked and left to sort of sit there for no reason.
So,
but
you still have the stock at home?
There's no stock, but there's tools. Tools, there's, and like, it's a lot of money was spent to
like tools like to produce,
to produce it. Wow. But just, they're just not quite finished. And and we went through
Like the
molds and everything, and then we went through like multiple different manufacturers and tried to shift, try to change mold, like take molds to others, and it's a fucking nightmare. And we just weren't the right people to do it. It was that simple.
Do you think back and you're like, there's so many things I learned that, you know, it was actually good that we did it, because you know there were so many valuable lessons that you take with you that you 100%. Can apply to welding.
I think there always is. I think one of the things that I sort of learned late, but I really enforce it now, is there's no such thing as a mistake as long as you learn from it. And so I think that, and like, failures don't exist if you're taking a learning from it. And I think you have to. And this comes back to that reflection. You need to reflect on it. Otherwise you're not learning. And therefore you've done it. You've wasted it. Like, you've wasted, like, every mistake, every failing is a huge opportunity for us to take something from and to better ourselves. And I'm a big person on self-development. How can you be 1% better every single day? Reflection, reviewing mistakes, reviewing failures. Don't make them again. Or make them again, but understand why you've made it again and then learn from that.
Just use that as research.
That's it. Research, baby.
It was research.
Right. Title of the podcast, research.
What's next for Welly?
Get to market.
Simple as that?
It's as simple as that. It's just... Because like,
I gotta go home and tell my kids.
It's that simple. It's just get to market, find market, product, and channel fit. Scale, new products to market, new channels.
Are you just gonna do online shopping?
Begin with, only for the foreseeable sort of 3 to 6 months, purely because we're trying to create a new category. We've got a very, very new product type. We need to own the narrative. If we don't own the narrative, if we go offline, we lose that control very, very quickly. And I think there's something in owning that, and we need to tell that story in the way in which it needs to be told. We don't have the ability to do so as soon as we go offline. And so we'll leverage online channels first and foremost, but with the intention to go offline as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, that's awesome.
I think I think we one more question. Actually, not one more question, but anything else you want to say before? I know you have a very important meeting.
No, every episode,
someone has a very important meeting.
Yeah,
they're just trying to run away.
Yeah, they're away from us, man.
Is that the subtle way of saying that
this is not important?
No, the last time, I guess, Amanda, they heard me about launching the next product, a big product.
Oh, true.
It was a mattress, I think.
She didn't say.
Did you just release something? She didn't release.
And she's like, guys, before we started recording, she's like, guys, I need to be out of here by, four or whatever. Because we have this important meeting, because we're about to launch a product.
A new product. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, we don't want to be. We joked about it whole.
Yeah, we didn't want to be the ones that stopped that product from actually launching. So we let it go.
Have a call after this.
That's fine. We can. I think I haven't checked the time, but I think we've got time.
All right. Well, then it's not on us.
I do have one more question, and I want you to answer this because.
Yeah.
Again, I've known you for a while, bro, and I think you have that hustle mentality and personality to it. And on my way here, I was thinking, is hustle something that you learn, or
interesting,
or is it in your DNA?
I don't refer to it as a hustle. I look at it as I'm trying to achieve something. And I've got a goal. I've got an ambitious goal.
Yeah.
And like I said, work back from that. So it's like, what do I need to do today that's going to help me get to that? And don't lose sight of that. Mm. And so I come back to, for me, there's probably passion, determination, as opposed to sort of hustle. But one thing that I think I should probably credit my old man is, I think my old man was very, very good at enforcing hard work.
Pickled pork tacos, prawn empanadas with some sauce roja, benuelos, otherwise known as Colombian cheese croquettes.
Amazing.
Thanks, man.
Lucky you're not hungry,
right? Oh, mate. I'll be taking an empanada, I can tell you that much. I'll love me an empanada. So, yeah, I think the old man just always instilled good work ethic. I think that was sort of one thing. And that was just with anything, anything and everything. And actually, both my parents did. But I think it comes down to, I think I definitely lost that hustle mentality when I wasn't trying to achieve or striving towards something. And so with that business, I just had sort of got to this stage where I was fucking over it. Mm. And it's just I can't see who I'm helping, where it goes from here. And you lose it.
Mm.
And so I think that then makes me believe that you can learn it. But I think you need to align certain things.
Yeah.
Mm. You need to align with, what is it that you're passionate about?
Mm.
What is it that you truly fucking care about? And what is it that you can happily work on no matter the time, no matter the circumstances?
Yeah.
Right? That's what I think it is.
As long as you're happy doing that.
Wow. Yeah, happy doing it. It's like you two. If I can see you two, killing your design. And, and you can just do it whenever because, you thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
You see the outcome and you're striving to attain something.
Mm.
But if you don't have those lined up, what are you working for?
Nice.
Right?
Drop the mic after that, man.
I think we can wrap it up there.
Yeah, legend.
We'll eat this and we'll keep chatting.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure you're on your way for that very important meeting.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Good. Thank you for so much. Joining us.
Adios. And see you on the next one.
Thank you.
Cheers,
fellas.
My man.
Thank you.
Brother. Healer.
Thanks, boys.
Healer, way to wrap it up, bro.
I'm intrigued for this empanada.
Oh, yeah. Camarones.